Amen. Still takes the blood today. Amen. That ain't popular among some people and some churches. Sad to say, but it's the truth. Still takes the blood. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus came for. Came to die on Calvary's cross, shed His blood for the sins of mankind. It took the blood, amen. It took the blood sacrifice, and the blood of bulls and goats would not cover, would not do it. Amen. Jesus, we had to have something in our likeness come and take our place. And Jesus became a man. God became a man, amen, because an animal and a man are two different things. And God became a man. He became flesh, dwelt among us. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad He did that. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning at Fredonia, where I attend church at, I preached this message this morning, and I said, if the Lord don't give me nothing else, Lovejoy's going to get it too. So I told him, I said, well, we'll just call this part two of the message then. But I was blessed this morning for the message and from what God gave to me. And I hope to share it with you tonight. And that song, My Hope Is in the Blood, hopefully we'll get on into that later on in the message about why our hope is still in the blood today, why it still takes the blood, and the significance of that. The Lord allows us to go there. But you be in much prayer for us tonight. We're going to come out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start at verse 16. And the Bible says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's about as far as we're going to read for right now. But, hey man, this come to me this morning. I was asking the Lord. I said, you know, we've been in a revival all week, and we hear messages from the preachers and everything. And as a preacher myself, it's not always easy to get a message from the Lord. You'd think, as being a preacher, that the Lord would just give us a message like that, and it don't always work that way. Sometimes we wait and we wait and we toil and we wrestle and we read and we study and nothing comes until the last minute. So this morning I was getting ready to go into church. I said, Lord, it's been a long week. I've had a tiring week. I said, Lord, if you're going to have me to preach at Lovejoy, little did I know I'd have to preach this morning too. I said, you're going to have to give me a thought. I said, I didn't ask for any scripture. I said, you know, Lord, I know your word enough to know that if you give me a thought, I'll be able to find it from that. And He gave me this thought, this little verse here. And in verse chapter 17, it talks about, it says here that their word will eat as doth a canker. And that's what came into my mind as I was getting ready for church this morning. So I've kind of meditated on that, had some time to think about that all day. And you know, we hear this term canker a lot. In the South, we have words for different things. And amen. And one of them is we call fever blisters. We call them canker sores. And if you think about that, that's just a lesion on your lip or somewhere on your face. It's just aggravating. It gets raw. It gets red. It starts to hurt. And amen. But this word canker is a lot more than just that. Amen. And the translation in the Greek, if you'll look that up, amen, it's a word that also is the word gangrene is derived from this word. Hey, man, this canker here is like a cancer. It's like a gangrene. And if I, best of my ability, I'm going to try to remember what it said the definition was. It was really important. Hey, man, it talked about gangrene and said it was a disease that was, it would spread throughout the body. And if medicine was not applied on it to continually, that the evil would spread, that the disease would spread. Eventually, it would corrupt the whole body and it would start to eat away at the bones. Amen. And I don't know a better way to describe sin than that right there. Amen. Sin is just like that. It's just like a cancer. Amen. It's just like something that is a disease and it starts to spread and it starts to eat away the foundation which the Lord has supplied in your heart. Amen. I said this morning, if you think about gangrene and cancer and even leprosy, we may get onto that in a minute. But these are diseases, amen, which cause the body to just completely fall apart. You've heard of these bacteria in the oceans and in the lakes. They're called flesh-eating disease. I don't know if any of you have seen pictures of that or not, but limbs will be lost because of it. Leprosy, they had all kinds of deformities because fingers would fall off and hands would fall off. And they had all kinds of things like this they had to deal with. When you read about a leper in the Bible, that's the kind of things it's talking about. It's kind of like gangrene. Yeah. But amen, if you don't leave that, if you leave that untreated for so long, it begins to eat away at the flesh, and then it gets deeper and deeper inside the body until it gets away at the bone, and then before long you have to amputate, and you lose a limb, you lose a digit, you lose something that was a part of you. And I began to think about that, and I was saying this morning that we are the body of Christ. Hey man, Paul was warning them, these people here in Rome. He's warning them about these two men here. He named by name Hymenaeus and Philetus. And he had a problem with one of them back in 1 Timothy. Hymenaeus was stirring up trouble back then. And he said he'd deliver them over to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. Amen. But these two men were stirring up all kinds of false things, saying that the resurrection had already passed, that it's already over with and been done. And he's not talking about the resurrection of Christ. He's talking about the second coming when the dead in Christ shall rise. They were saying that they would be past. It's already done. It's already over with. They were speaking false doctrine, in other words. Mm-hmm. And Paul was warning them against this. He said, shun profane and vain babblings. Mm-hmm. Amen. We think about the word babbling. It comes from the Tower of Babel. Yeah. Amen. When you're babbling, you're just talking. You don't know what you're saying. Amen. Nobody can understand that. It's just nonsense. Paul said, avoid that foolish nonsense out there that's spreading these lies. Amen. The church world today is hearing all kinds of lies that the world wants to push upon the church about certain kind of lifestyles being okay. About it's okay to do a little bit of this and maybe dabble a little bit in that. Amen. But Bible says, come out from the unclean thing. Amen. Be a separate people and I will receive you. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Why is it so important that we don't dabble in sin? Why is it so important that we don't tell a little white lie? Amen. Because it's just like this old canker. Amen. It starts in the little bitty parts. Amen. It starts to spread. It starts to eat away at you. I don't know about you, but when I was lost, when I became to the realization I was lost, man, that Holy Spirit, that sin started eating at me. It started eating away at me and letting me realize that I was lost and going to a devil's hell, that I needed to be saved. Hey, man, and that's the way sin is. It'll eat away at you. And it'll start gnawing at you. It'll start driving you crazy. Hey, man, and before you know it, you're back out into the world. Amen. And just like gangrene can lop off a limb, before you know it, a member of the church might be gone. They might leave and they might not come back. They might say, well, I'm going to stay home tonight. The church down there don't really need me. I think it'd be a good time to go to the lake. I think it'd be a good time to go visit some family. Before you know it, they're making excuses. And the body of Christ, amen, a limb is lost because of that.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. They've let sin get in. They've let that canker get in. They begin to doubt the Lord. They begin to doubt the things that He say are true. Amen. That's what happened in the beginning when Eve was tempted. Eve was tempted by that old serpent. He used words. He used that forked tongue. Amen. To try to seduce her into sinning against God and disobeying Him. And that's what happens in the world today. Before long, we get ourselves in the predicament of, hey man, we're listening to the agenda of the world. We're listening to all the bad news that's going on, and it starts to eat away at us. We can't sleep at night. We're worried about our loved ones. And we are worried about everything else except for what thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Paul said at the end of this, he said, their word's going to eat us a canker. You need to stay away from those babblings. Don't let your ears even hear it. And he says, some that have concerned the truth, they've erred, and they've overthrown the faith of some. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. I'm glad today God's foundation is still sure. Amen. The Bible said that we're built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, as the brother sung about a while ago. He's a foundation that standeth sure. One day after a while, that chief cornerstone is going to be coming back. And just like the Daniel's prophecy and Nebuchadnezzar's idol that he had put up, that chief cornerstone is going to come down and smash the ruling of this world, and he's going to rule and reign, amen, forever and ever, amen.
Bless him all.
But he says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Amen.
God knows when there's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly.
Amen. You can't pull anything over God. Amen. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows exactly the intentions that we have in our hearts.
Amen.
And He knows exactly what's going on in the church world today. It don't faze Him a bit. God's not up there in heaven wringing His arms, wringing His hands, worried to death about what's going on in the church. He's got it all under control. Amen. We need to look to Him because His foundation stands sure.
Amen.
He says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Why is that? Because that iniquity is what eats away at us.
Mm-hmm.
I know just about everybody in here could probably say that at one point in their life, something just ate away at them, just gnawed at them. You just can't sleep at night. You can't get off your mind. Maybe it's that job interview. Maybe it's the work you got going on the next week at work. Maybe it's you're paying your bills this week, whatever it is. Those things eat away at us. But David said, amen, his enemies tried to devour him. Amen. Those things are enemies against the people of God. We got to be careful what we let enter into our gates, our ear gates, our eye gates. Amen. Careful what we let in, because it can come a small seed and grow into a big old bush before long. And next thing you know, amen, you're losing interest in the church. You're losing interest in the people of God. You're losing interest in reading the Word. Amen. And it becomes hard for you in life. Why? Because the way of a transgressor is hard. It's easy to go back on the Lord when we listen to the devil. Amen. We let the devil dictate what we should be thinking about, what we should be doing. Amen. But I want you to notice this. That was talking about, that definition was talking about if a remedy is not continually applied seasonably, amen, that evil begins to spread. It becomes corrupt completely. I begin to think about that medicine that might have been used for that gangrene that he's talking about here. Physically, amen. I begin to think about the word balm, amen. The balm in the Bible is an ointment, it's a salve. Amen. Jeremiah talks about the balm of Gilead. Amen. This balm is short for the word balsam. And the definition that it gave me was that it was a kind of something that came from fruit, maybe the liquid of fruit or the oil of the fruit. And it was used in these ointments that would be used for healing purposes. I think of maybe the old creams that we use, like Soltis, we put on our feet, we put on our neck when we get a cold, and it's supposed to help us. That balm is supposed to help us. And this here is the remedy that we're looking for. Christ is the balm.
Amen.
Christ is the remedy
mm-hmm.
to all your ailments, amen, today, to all your things. If the devil comes creeping in and you begin to start listening to him and start doubting and start worrying and start getting afraid of, hey man, time to go back to Christ.
Amen.
He's got the balm that can apply to our life.
Amen.
And we can find rest into our souls. Amen, the Bible
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
We got to be willing to, though.
That's right.
They preached this week on the old path. He gave an example in Jeremiah 6:16 where it says, "Come now and see and walk in the old paths, where you find rest into your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." If we're stubborn against God, amen, we're going to be headed for a downfall really quick.
Amen.
We got to be willing, amen, to take of that balm. Psalmist David said, "Take hyssop and purge me and I shall be clean." He wanted to be cleansed from his secret sins, amen, that nobody saw, but God saw him. He knew what was going on. You can't hide from the Lord. But that fruit is where that came from. And I begin to think about another message that was preached this week on Christ, the true vine. In John 15, Christ said, "I am the true vine." Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. You're just a branch. Amen, Brother Anthony. I'm just a branch. I'm just been grafted into the tree. Christ is the vine. Amen. He's the one that the fruit comes from. He's the one that the healing comes from.
Amen.
He says, "With His stripes we are healed."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That canker starts eating away. Go to the bone. Apply that ointment of Christ.
Right.
Apply that salve. Now, we talked about the blood, and I began to think about this. If you'll read chapter 14 of Leviticus, it talks all about leprosy and why it's so terrible, but it's a type of sin. That's how horrible it is. If you want to know what sin looks like in the face of God, how abhorrent it is and how abominable it is, Amen. All you have to do is look in Leviticus and you'll see all the things that the leprosy had to deal with. The leper, they had to burn their clothes. Amen. They had to go to the priest and get cleansed. And it was such a terrible disease, they couldn't even go to the temple to worship. They had to stay away. Sin keeps you away from God. Amen. This morning, you see, sin will keep you away from God. It'll eat away at you until you don't have a remedy anymore. That's why it's important to go to the remedy. How many of you here, if you've got sick, amen, you'd wait a week or two before you go to the doctor? Some of us would. Some of us being are stubborn. Oh, it'll be all right. But what if it was cancer? What if it was a degenerative disease? What if it was something serious? You'd go to the doctor then. You wouldn't put it off. Sin is serious.
Amen.
It eats away and it takes and takes and takes and never gives back.
Amen.
It's serious. That's why the remedy needs to be applied quickly.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 16. I want you to notice this. We talked about my hope is in the blood. This is how important this is. God here is talking. I'm going to read this. I'm going to kind of explain what this means. Ezekiel 16, starting at verse 1, says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," Ezekiel here, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination." That's things that God despises. "And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day when thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day thou wast born." You know what God is saying? Before he redeemed Jerusalem, see, Abraham, before Abraham became Abraham, if I'm not mistaken, his genealogy leads back to these nations, the Canaanites and the Hittites and some of these other people. And this was the land that they were going to go conquer. This is the promised land that God was going to lead them to. But he's saying, before I made you, before I made that covenant with Abraham, before you became Israel and Jerusalem, you were nobody. You were just like as if somebody had given birth to a baby, and they cut the umbilical cord and they threw you out in the field. Won't you picture that? You were nobody. You were lying there. You were filthy. You weren't cleaned. You weren't swathed. Nobody loved you. "None I pitied thee to do any of these things to you. You were just cast away." But then notice this in verse 6. "And when I passed by," God's talking to Jerusalem, "when I passed by, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood." See, the blood wasn't wiped off. It was still lying in the birth. "I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live."
Amen.
You were as good as dead. But God pronounced and spoke life unto Jerusalem. Friend, in our own, these diseases I've talked about, cancer, gangrene, leprosy, if I'm not mistaken, those are all diseases of the blood. They begin at the cellular level. Blood cells become mutated. Blood cells begin to die and consume one another. And cancer forms and inflammation and all this other stuff. If it's a blood problem, most of the time what they'll do is they'll have a blood transfusion. Because you got to replace the corrupted blood with clean blood. You see, when me and you were a sinner, we were corrupted in our own blood. Jesus came along, died on Calvary, and supplied pure blood. When we were born again, we became children of God. And we had a spiritual blood transfusion. Amen. And it's so easy to get out in this world and let the cancer of this world corrupt that blood, corrupt our walk with Christ, corrupt our salvation. That's how important it is. We don't want to take the gift that God had given us on Calvary and let sin begin to eat away at it again. That's how God sees it. That's very important. So I encourage you tonight as a church, When you hear the media, when you hear all these things going on, you need to look to the Word of God. It's the best media, it's the best newspaper you can find. You don't need the news out there in the world. You can look at this and it begins to reveal itself in the world. Amen. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, these rumors of wars and all these other things and these all kinds of weather incidents we've been having with that last year with that volcano in Hawaii. This year we've had that tsunami, we've had hurricanes, all these things are getting worse and worse. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. We don't need to be worried about these things. We need to be rejoicing because Christ is on His way. Amen. He's coming to make everything clean again. He's coming to restore what mankind had with God in the garden. Amen. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness. All the tears will be wiped away. We don't need to lay down our cross so close to home. We don't need to let Satan steal our crown. I believe it was Paul that said, let no man take thy crown. Amen. Churches too easily are today letting a crown just be taken away. We see the day today we're living in, it's like Esau and Jacob. Esau was willing to sell his whole birthright for just a little bit of pottage. For just a little morsel of food. He thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to starve to death. Church world today thinks you're going to die. Where's the Lord at? Where's the promise of His coming? I believe we'll just sell out. That's happening a lot.
Yeah.
We don't need to sell out. Amen. We need to dig in.
Amen.
Dig in and dig in hard for the Lord. Stay on that rock. That hope we have is an anchor of the soul. I know churches, it's hard to find. A lot of churches today, they don't have a pastor. Recently, this church doesn't have a pastor, but that ain't no time to give up. Amen. That's the time to dig in and seek God.
Yeah.
Bible says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask and it shall be given. Amen. If you believe God answers prayer, then keep praying.
Amen.
God will send somebody.
Amen.
I believe I've cleared my heart tonight. I'll ask Him to get a verse of a song. I don't know anybody's heart tonight, but I know, amen, that this message, I know, definitely applies to me. And if it hits me, I know it's got to hit somebody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so easy to let things just slip in and start getting bigger and bigger and bigger before you know it, it's out of control.
Amen.
It's time to get control back. It's time to give a control over the Lord.
Amen.
And if you find yourself in that situation tonight, amen, this altar is open. You are more than welcome to come and talk it over with Jesus. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to apply the balm to your heart once again. As it says.